many screenings, and every screening was sold out. And at that point, it was like me and a mailing list sign-up sheet. And any after the screening, I would go to inside, and I would be like, "So, does anybody want to fight for Chinatown, Vancouver Chinatown? Because there's a fight happening, and all you have to do to know about it and take action is to sign up on the mailing list." And there will be like lineups of people waiting to sign up for this mailing list, and it's been so effective. And then when Gal and I like more formally joined forces, Gal was like, "Hey, maybe we should start like continue doing this, but go outside of Chinatown, go outside of Vancouver." And it's continual to be very effective in kind of bringing people into to our cause. So we actually have a screening coming up that Gal is organizing in Richmond with what's the church name called again?
St. Albans Anglican Church with the 360 community.
Yep, and then we also have two more screenings, one in Surrey, one in Richmond, with Kwantlen KPU in September. Some other events that have been really interesting is last year through 105 Kiefer, I actually met the memorial sculptor of the Chinatown Memorial plaza, the actual sculptor. And his name is Arthur Shurin Chen, and he actually is in his like mid-80s, but he's never made a public speech about his work before in the process. And through 105 Kiefer, because his sculpture, a sculpture will be impacted by the building, I got to see all of his archives, and it's incredible. Nobody has seen them. The public has not seen them before. And none of the other institutions in Chinatown, such as the Chinese Canadian Museum or Chinatown Storytelling Center or the Chinese Cultural Center, was putting on any kind of archival show or celebration of the memorial, even though it was its 20th anniversary. And man is getting old, right? So we just used our resources, partnered with the Chinese Canadian Historical Society, and we put on a lecture and platformed him and recorded it so that generations in the future can look back and see the history of this very important memorial. Other things that we've done that has been really interesting for myself personally has been the Hakka Tilin dance. So this one was really interesting because we knew that Kung Fu and line dancing was very popular, and it's still one of our most popular workshops. And so we had two slots for it in our calendar for January to June. And I was invited to this Hakka banquet because on the mother's side, I am Hakka. And at the Hakka banquet, there was this YouTube video that was shown about the Chinese unicorn or the Kirin. And I was like, I have never seen anything like this before. It is so unique. The footwork is different. The headwork is different. It's not like the lion. It's not like the dragon. It's its own type of dance, and it belongs to Hakka people. And the Hakka people are actually a sub-ethnic group of Han folks that have been genocided and pushed out from the north to the south and even there too. And so Hakka people don't actually have a land that they call their own, and they're everywhere. And through historical persecution, this art form, although it's been practiced by 450 years, is quite a hidden and also lost art in many places. So I asked, are we does the Hakka are there any Kirins in Vancouver? Like, how do we learn this dance? And it turns out that the Hakka Society in Chinatown actually has some of these heads that are quite old and been sitting in the attic, and there were no young people kind of continuing this dance. And so, luckily, a lot of the folks that were already involved in Chinatown together. Turns out a lot of us were actually Hakka people after we started asking each other. And we decided, why don't we put Chinatown Together's resources together with the Hakka Tsingtsing Society and put on an event where we revive this unicorn dance in Vancouver and teach the young generation from the Sifu who is still with us. So seeing that being brought to life was very meaningful for me. And it was also a journey about learning about my heritage and cultural roots along with my peers. And we hope to keep on continuing this dance so that younger generations can keep it going. And I think that's really the work that we're doing in Chinatown Together. It's really interesting that a lot of the events that people really want to participate in are usually the ones that are very traditional in their art form, because generally that is less accessible. And we've become sort of this point where it's accessible for maybe more English, westernized youth to kind of re-engage with their cultural heritage. And for me, putting on these events is a way for me to and re-engage with my cultural heritage so that we can pass on not just our culture, but Chinatown for the next generation to be able to steward to.
That's awesome. Thank you for your responses to that. It's really cool to hear about, how you've centered more traditional art and culture in your events as well, because one of the things that I find really interesting is what you were mentioning earlier which is that intergenerational aspect of Chinatown Together's events. And as well, if you're just tuning in, you're tuned into Typically Tuesdays here on 90.1 FM CJSF. I'm Leslie, and I'm talking with the co-founders of Chinatown Together. They're a grassroots organization doing work around anti-gentrification and cultural re-engagement and revitalization in Vancouver's Chinatown. So on that note, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the people who come to your events. I've only been to a few, but from what I've noticed, it is like very mixed in the demographics of people with regards to age. And I think actually I went to the Cantonese opera one, and I think there were more seniors there than middle-aged people or young people, which is really cool. I wanted to ask a little bit about what goes behind centering seniors in your work. You know, centering seniors in your work in the sense of like bringing seniors to your events, but also really like platforming them as well. Talk a little bit about that.
When it comes to centering seniors, we thought really hard about how we wanted to do this that wasn't tokenizing seniors or like virtue signaling, because that's not what we want to do, and we feel like that's not the proper genuine way. So one thing, especially for me, Melody's been more active in the deeper community than I have. So one thing for me was to connect with seniors more, get to know seniors better. One thing was to get over my fear of my broken Cantonese. But there are a lot of seniors that we've met throughout doing these events who really enjoy coming to our events too. And they also have a very huge collection of talents and knowledge that we wanted to platform, because if it was something that we found like educational and interesting for us, we can only imagine how that would be the same for others. So we, for example, our Big Fun in Little Chinatown film screenings, we have a panel discussion after, and we've consistently had Swallow, an elder in Chinatown, sit on the panel with us and, you know, let the audience know about her experiences and how she feels about gentrification and what's going on. Speaking of Swallow, we've also had her teach a class for Chinese square dancing. She is also a part of the Carnegie dance troupe. And so She led a really great course. She's got so much energy dancing for 4 hours. A lot of our youth that came had to sit down partway through because they were tired. We also have Mrs. Ma or Ma Tai, who taught Tai Chi at one of our event workshops. She's super skilled. You can probably see her around Chinatown all the time. She's usually wearing a pink hat or a pink vest. And another way that we wanted to platform seniors, maybe for seniors that don't want to be center stage, is our seniors mini market. So there's a lot of seniors in Chinatown that do their own crafts. Some of them sell their work, their handiwork. But we've also noticed that the seniors that sell their handiwork on the streets usually get kicked out of the near the storefronts that they're selling at. So we were thinking about how can we give them like a space where they won't get kicked out of, a space that it's a little more stress-free, and also just kind of safe from the weather, whether it's too cold or too hot outside. So we started incorporating seniors mini market into our events. And it turns out a lot of people really enjoyed this. People felt like it was a way to meaningfully connect with seniors, because I didn't realize this. I thought it was just like me. But a lot of people, in Vancouver that identify with Chinatown or identify with just Asian culture, want to connect with the local seniors more. They just don't know how, because it'd be weird to just strike a conversation up with someone on the street. I've noticed that people, when they shop the seniors market, it's not just like, oh, I want to buy that, thanks, and then they leave. They kind of stick around and chat with the seniors, and it's really nice. And the seniors really enjoy it too. They feel really like appreciated by the community and really seen. So I think it's like a mutually beneficial sort of thing that we've put together.
Yeah, so bringing seniors to events, it's not like you send an email blast and they'll RSVP, especially working in Chinatown. It's a process. And, at the start for events, we're like, wow, there aren't many seniors around. Even the seniors are part of the community. So how do we dedicate more resources and attention in terms of bringing seniors to the events? Because we know that when they are there, they enjoy it. And it helps them kind of get out of being isolated. So we actually hired someone to be a seniors outreach coordinator to deliberately go to food lines where seniors are, to go to the community spaces where they hang out and workshops, to tell them about the events manually through flyers. So shout out to Felicity and now JD, who have been helping us really kind of be that outreach person to remind seniors that these events are for them and available for them and accessible for them. So it does take work and not just an email or Eventbrite or event listings to engage seniors in the community. But at the end of the day, I think it's so worth it. The other thing that we've found really interesting is like different generations bringing elders and their family to our events as a way to create memories together in an accessible way because we're using arts and culture. So, for example, a granddaughter brought their grandfather to our Tang Yun sweet dumpling making event for winter solstice. And it was just very adorable that they were there and just spending time, and that'll be one of their core memories with each other. There's a grandma in Chinatown that brings her little granddaughter to all of their events, and they're active, and they've been coming to almost every event lately. And again, like that becomes a bonding time for the little girl as well as the grandmother. Another one that we've seen is a son who brings have brought his mother to some of our events, and the calligraphy one was the one that really resonated with both of them because when they were younger, their father, who has now passed, actually used to have family calligraphy nights, or they practice calligraphy together. And so his mother, who's older, actually brought her own calligraphy book and started doing calligraphy at the event. And then afterwards, I got a message from the son that his mother wanted him to set up a calligraphy station for her in order to keep practicing calligraphy. At the Cantonese Opera, when we heard a daughter bringing her parent to the opera, who was in their 90s, and brought them out from a care home, because, you know, it's been a very long time since they've seen Cantonese opera, and that's one of their parents' love. So through these events, we've kind of created a space where generations actually bring each other together so that they can create core memories together. And it's so touching when that happens, and we are honored to be part of it.
That's very beautiful. Kind of on that note as well, there is an initiative that Chinatown Together does, I believe, in collaboration with the Yarrow Intergenerational Society for Justice, and it's called Williams Library. And to describe it a little bit, from what I understand, it's the collections, the book collections and music collections of a person named William, who used to be quite involved in Chinatown, and he passed quite recently. But his family have donated many of the items from his collections to your events, essentially, and people can go through and look through them. Can you tell me a little bit more about how William's Library came about, and talk about William as well?
Yeah, so I actually met William during 105 Kiefer. He would bike with his like bright construction vest that he had, and super active, and like, you know, we needed to feed Beatty 105 Kiefer, and he was at all the hearings for over 3 days. So a lot of us got to know him then, and I know some youth actually knew him from before. And he has always been very active in protests and standing up for what is right, not just in Chinatown, but for other issues too. I actually had a meal with him at Han's on the last day that Han's was operating in Chinatown. And so I've always remembered him. And then I kind of stepped away from Chinatown just for a mental health break for a few years and lost touch. But then when I re-entered during this, you know, this round of 105 Kiefer in 2023, I was hosting an event about poetry with SF Ho. And someone in the community said, hey, you should contact William Lim, who writes his own poetry and is like a published poet. Of Chinese poetry, because we were kind of short on people who can recite Chinese poetry. So I was like, oh yeah, I should definitely reach out to him, because I did see him at the 105 Kiefer protests in 2023, and he's in a care home at that point, and so I went to see him at his care home to retrieve poetry. And he recited his poetry at our event. Despite having Parkinson, he pronounced his poetry perfectly. And that's where we met Swallow too. Swallow, the elder who does all of the different events now that we collaborate with her. She was just walking down the street and she's like, hey, I know this poem. Like, I've read it before. Can I read this in Mandarin for him and also in English? And that is how this bond between Swallow and William happened. And, you know, since then, for every event that we did, we would bring him out through Handy Dart. Shout out to Handy Dart from his care homes to our events, and it's brightened our lives, and it brightened his life too. Unfortunately, he passed away earlier this year in January, even though we kind of created Chinatown together in his hospital room. And as part of that, we started connecting with his family afterwards, who started to realize, like, wow, William has all these young people and this other family of folks who really care about him. And we started helping him, his nephew, Hector, to help clean out his place. And when we were there, we're like, wow, there are a lot of books, there are a lot of tapes, there are a lot of vinyls, and they were awesome. We were just like looking through all of his stuff, because it has a lot of stuff about activism, collections of Vancouver's history, newspaper clippings of all the important points in Vancouver's Vancouver's recent history. So his family was thinking, well, like, maybe we'll just donate them to the Salvation Army, or even like consider throwing some of the things away. And we're like, you know what, let's distribute them at our events, and just have like, just instead of going through Salvation Army or the library, let's like give it back to the community, and for everybody who wants to and feel compelled can make a donation, and that donation can go to an organization that William also loved, which is Yarrow Society, that serves Chinese seniors in Chinatown. And now it's become this thing where people come and just go to William's library. I was trying to seat some young folks at the opera event, and they're like, no, we are going to William's library first. Like, that's what we're here for. So it's really interesting kind of seeing how this idea has evolved, and now people actually want to add to William's library.
We've also seen a lot of people, like, I know, Leslie, you've asked me at an event, a lot of people have asked me about like who William was, because they look through his library of books and music, and it's all curated, because it's coming from one person. It's not like a collection of random things from different people. And William was a very interesting, well-read, cultured person. And a lot of people identified with different aspects of items they found. And through that, I've also seen people connect with each other while they're like going through William's library, and they're like, wow, you like this book? Me too. Or like, wow, it's a really nice record you're holding there. I'm also interested in that, and we've seen people connect too. So it's been an overall very positive, impactful initiative. And it's also, because I'm kind of a sappy person, but I feel like it's our way of keeping William's like legacy alive, and that even up to like, you know, his like final days before being hospitalized, he wanted to come to so many events. And I remember he was asking Melody like, oh, I want to come, and then he was feeling a little sick, so we were like, no, it's cold outside, you know, we'll make it to the next one. And then he passed, so this is his way to still be present, you know, to still be present and still be with us. And we have like a little sign at William's library talking about who he is, just briefly, and what William's library stands for. And I think it really resonates with a lot of people, because people that do come to Chinatown Together's events really care about, you know, not just like who's here right now, but also the history of Chinatown, who has fought for Chinatown, individual voices in Chinatown. The fact that the donations are optional makes it accessible for folks. I've seen a lot of seniors that are like low-income seniors really feel safe that they can approach this pile of books and records and CDs and cassettes and not feel like, oh, I'm like I'm going to be judged because I'm low income and I'm not allowed to be here. No, they feel safe and they're like, wow, is this really for free? And we're like, yeah, you can take it. You know, donation's optional. You don't have to. And then I've seen quite a few seniors walk back to maybe a friend or like maybe their partner, and they're smiling while pointing at like a pile of things that they've like found from Williams Library. And it's great. And people that can donate have been like donating quite a lot, which has been great for fundraising for Yarrow Society. The fact that people want to now contribute donations to a Williams Library just means that Williams Library becomes a community thing. And it's not going to stop. Even if one day, you know, like all of Williams things get picked up, people will be still donating. So Williams' name is still on it. And that's him. That's him and how we honor him.
It's really beautiful how this person whose energy touched a lot of people, this person's energy is still there and is still so present in Chinatown, partly through Chinatown Together. I actually, talking about William, I kind of want to share a little bit of my own story here. When I checked out William's library, well, one of the things I noticed also is that he has a pretty large collection of older books in Chinese published in like the 60s to like the 80s. And I noticed how a lot of the seniors who attended the event were really excited specifically about those books, right? Because like, those were maybe reading materials that like they had read before and wanted to return to, or like it's stuff that they haven't seen before, and it is written in an era that they lived through, and it was so exciting to see.
And that was part one of my conversation with Gal and Melody, the co-founders of Chinatown Together. We weren't able to fit it into this part of our conversation for today, but Chinatown Together do have some events coming up. They've got a screening of Big Fight in Little Chinatown over in Richmond at the St. Albans Anglican Church this Saturday, July 20th. You know, they talked a lot about this movie, and it sounds really cool. If you are able to get over to Richmond, go check that out. That's happening this Saturday, July 20th at 6 o'clock. As well, you can follow them on their Instagram at Chinatown Together for more information about what events are coming up. And also, you can sign up to their newsletter, Save Chinatown YVR, which will give you updates about their event schedule and other things about gentrification that are happening in Vancouver. So go give those things a look. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, we're going to be talking to Gal and Melody about culture and gentrification in Chinatown and tourism and organizing in Vancouver. Really exciting conversation. So do tune in next week. You know when it is, Monday 3 to 4. As well, if you have not already had the chance to participate in Typically Tuesday's Pride Special Listener Engagement Project, please, 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 please do fill out the form. I'm asking members of the LGBTQ+ communities and Two-Spirit communities how they are resisting corporatization of pride, pinkwashing, and homo nationalism, and other things by building community with each other and building bridges of solidarity with other oppressed groups and peoples. If you have the time, please do fill it out. I have not received a single response yet, which makes me a little bit sad, but I know that you will pull through. So if you haven't already, please do go fill out the form. It is open until August 2nd, which is the first Friday of August. And the link to that is on my Instagram at Typically Tuesdays. It is in my profile. All right, I gotta shut it down now. So thank you so much for tuning in this week. I can't wait to talk to you next week all about Chinatown together once again. Take care, Leslie, signing off. Bye!